All right. Morning, everyone. So, we're beginning this week the last of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the Ikr of Tchiyas HaMisim, of Resurrection of the Dead. And as we go through, we'll see that this Ikr is a little bit of an enigma, a little bit of a mystery that has to be unraveled. And we're going to have a couple of weeks that are going to be more set up to try and realize exactly where the issue lies, and just some very important background in terms of how some of these things that are very esoteric, how they work, things that have to do with the end of days, exactly how they go, and there are different views in the different major Rishonim. We're going to discuss this week and next week major machlokas, difference of opinion between the Rambam and the Ramban. But the basic point that we're going to try to get to is that the Rambam has to be understood on his own terms, which is that the Rambam has a lot to say about these things, and therefore the Rambam has to be understood within the context of his own approach to these things, and we'll see how that is going to pose a little bit of a challenge in understanding exactly what the significance of some of these things are, which we'll try and set the stage for that this morning. But the basic question we're going to have to work out is that the Rambam, nobody forced the Rambam to put anything into his list of Yud Gimel Ikrim. He chose on his own what he considered to be an Ikr, what he considered to be fundamental, and what is not fundamental. There are things that other Rishonim were bothered why they are on the list, other things that other Rishonim were bothered why they're not on the list, right? Whether or not they agreed that they're true, but that why is this considered fundamental, why is this not considered fundamental? So nobody was forcing the Rambam's hand in making a list of what's fundamental. So the Rambam chose to put the Ikr of Tchiyas HaMisim on his list of fundamentals. So he decided that it's very important. So therefore we have to see in the Rambam's own structure why it is something which is so significant. So that's what we're going to try and work towards. But before we do that, so as I mentioned, we're going to have to see in a broader picture of some very important and central background information about Tchiyas HaMisim, Olam Haba, and different related things like that. Now, the first step of the mystery is the Rambam's words in the Yud Gimel Ikrim. In the 13th principle of faith, the Rambam has a grand total of 2 words to explain this principle. He says, "Yesod Hashlosha Asar Tchiyas HaMisim." The third principle is Tchiyas HaMisim, and his comments are Ukvar Be'arnuhu. We already explained it. That's the entirety of what the Rambam says, and that's the end of it. And then he goes into a postscript, which maybe after we finish this principle, we'll maybe spend a week or so about. But either way, the Rambam has. That's the entirety of what the Rambam has. The Rambam is not explicit about where he has already explained it. There's really only one culprit to point the finger at, which we're going to see next. But basically, the Rambam just says it's already been explained, and he doesn't tell you anything further. So, if you turn the page, just to catch you up, the 30-second summary. We're launching into Tchiyas HaMisim, and we're going to try and understand why it's difficult to understand what the significance of it is according to the Rambam. So we're about to go through this week the Rambam's general view of how Tchiyas HaMisim and Olam Haba and all these things fit into how they go together. And next week we're going to talk about the Ramban's view. And then after that, we'll try and put things together about what the significance should be.
And is this the 13th?
This is number 13. So basically what we pointed out so far is that it's a little bit of a mystery that the Rambam himself does not want to get into. The Rambam's entire explanation of the 13th principle is to say, Kfar Be'arnuhu, we already explained it. He doesn't bother telling you anything about what's significant about it or even what it is. He just says, we already explained it. So, turn the page. Earlier in the introduction to Chelek, we learned this about 2 years ago. So, the Rambam has a brief description, which is also rather scarce in terms of details. But the Rambam writes, "Utchias Amesim Yisod Miyisodos Torahs Moshe Rabbeinu." Utchias Amesim is one of the fundamentals of the foundations of the Torah. Ein Das Ein Kesher Im Ha'uma Yehudis Mish Ein Omar Min Bekan. There is no religion or system of belief, and there's no connection to the Jewish nation for someone who does not believe in it. Ela Shehila Tzadikim, but it is only for the righteous. The Lashon Breishis Rabba, the words of the Medrash and Breishis Rabba, Gvuras Geshamim Latzadikim Ula Rishayim, Utrias Amesim Latzadikim Bilvan. Gvuras Geshamim, that the rain, the chesed, the kindness that Hashem does, that He makes the rain fall, that happens for the righteous and for the wicked. And Trias Amesim is only for the righteous. So that's how the Rambam sees, that Trias Amesim is only for the righteous. And the Rambam explains, V'heyach yichyu ha-Rashayim, how could it be that the Rashayim would come back to life, that the wicked would come back to life, V'heyim mesim afilu b'chayehim, when they are considered dead even in their lifetime, right? The Chazal say, Tzadikim b'misasam kuryim chayim, Rashayim b'chayehim kuryim mesim, that the righteous, even in their when they're dead, are considered or are called alive, are called living, and the wicked, even in their lifetime, are called dead. So says the Rambam, even while they're alive, they were basically dead. So how could it be that they would come back to life? The kach amar alayim ashalom, Rishayim, and he quotes that line, Rishayim afil v'chayim kuryim mesim, v'tzadikim afil misasam kuryim chayim, v'da, and no, Sha'adam Yamos Behechlet, that man must die with certainty, and it has to be. Yeah, absolutely. The Yipari of the Mashahurka Mimenu, and he will separate, he will re-divide into that which he is made up of. Which we'll get more into the significance of that line, why I underline that line in a moment. But basically, the extent of the Rambam's description of Tchias Amesim for us is, the only real significant piece of information that he tells us about it, is that it is for the righteous. That's all the Rambam has to tell us about Tchias Amesim. Doesn't describe what it means, doesn't describe why it is, when it is, just who it's for. That's all that the Rambam has to say about Tchias Amesim, is that it is for the Tzadikim. No. Hold on, I should get a tissue. Okay. The Rambam is explicit that there is Skar, there is Olam Haba for the righteous of all nations. It's really a fairly direct implication of a Mishnah that we actually have on the very last page of this source sheet. We'll get there at the end. But the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, which everyone probably knows, the first line of the Mishnah in the last parak of Sanhedrin, says, Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek Olam Haba. All of Yisrael have a Chelek Olam Haba. And then it says, the Eila She'ilam Chelek Olam Haba, and these are the people who don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba, and it lists certain categories of people who don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba, and then one of the people that it lists in that list is Bilam. Arba had Yotos Bilam. It says there are four people, four non-kings who have no chelik in Olam Haba, and one of them is Bilam. So Bilam is...
Whose verse is this? This is in the Rambam?
No, no, it's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, right?
Mishnah.
Yeah, so one of them is Bilam. So Bilam was not a Jew, and yet the Mishnah needs to point out that he doesn't have a chiluk. Specifically, he's a specific non-Jew who does not have a chiluk in Olam Haba. The implication is that min hastam, that other non-Jews may have, doesn't mean that they necessarily do, but we certainly can't. It certainly means that they don't. They aren't ruled out from it, right?
So are you saying the implication that Olam Haba is the same as Kiyasa Meisim in terms of
So the non-Jews are Kliyas HaMesim. So that's I do not know the answer to. That's an interesting question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Wait. two things. Sometimes they have a minority opinion in the Mishnah, right?
Yes.
So could this be a minority opinion?
I mean, hypothetically it could, but it's the Rambam certainly writes explicitly that a non-Jew could have a chiluk in Olam Haba.
And secondly, can you remind us just quickly the difference between Olam Haba and Kiyasa?
Well, no, I cannot, because that is going to be one of the central topics that we are going to be trying to work out.
Now,
major difference between the Rambam and the Ramban, that's going to be one of the center focal points of this discussion, is what is the interaction between Kliyas HaMesim and Olam Haba, the resurrection and the world to come. So,
when you go to excluding people individually like Bilam, it sounds as though the access to Olam Haba is much more inclusive than the Rambam is talking about, where it's only
right, so the question is twofold. The question is, I mean, we really can start with the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelik Olam Haba. All Yisrael have a Chelik in Olam Haba. And then the Mishnah excludes, like, eight individuals who don't. One of whom is Bilam. Another is other wicked people. Right? So, and also certain categories of people. Right? But then the question basically is, what does it mean that everyone has a Chelik in Olam Haba? Right, certainly, you know, that there's some, you know, Olam Haba, it's not just like, there's a reason we have mitzvos, and you have to earn Olam Haba. So when everyone has a chiluk in Olam Haba, what does that mean? That means everybody gets automatic entrance. So that's its kind of its own discussion. I don't want to get too far into, but just the basic idea the simple understanding of the Mishnah is that it's referring more to who the rights to entry, and maybe that there's a difference between that. This is one approach taken by Mefarshim, that a Yisrael is going to go into Olam Haba unless he ruins it for himself. A non-Jew is not going to Olam Haba unless he earns it for himself. What the practical ramifications that would be, not going to get into, but that's basically the...
By saying it's only the tzaddikim that earn it, we're getting into the difference between Tefillat HaMesim and Olam Haba.
I don't think so.
This one says everyone gets in unless you've done something really bad. And you just said, the Rambam says only the tzaddikim get it.
Right. The question of defining a tzaddik also. But the Rambam famously in Hilchos Tshuva, when he's talking about the din between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, says that anybody who has more mitzvos than averos is called a tzaddik, right? So not necessarily mean like the Gedolei Hador, but to anyone who could, you know, has done more good than bad. Okay, but these are more side topics, so I want to make sure we get through our basic point here. But so, I want to wrap into this discussion also, just to make it more complete, where Gan Eden fits into this discussion. We have this place called the Garden of Eden, Gan Eden, and where does that fit? So we have Olam Haba, we have Gan Eden, we have Kliyas HaMesim. What are all these different things? So if you look a little bit further up on the page here, the Rambam in the previous paragraph says, Gan Eden hu makom deshen bekador haaretz, that Gan Eden is a very lush place on earth, on the globe. Right?
Really?
Really. Yigalehu Hashem.
It's called Hawaii, right?
Yigalehu Hashem. There's some people in, I think, in Capes, in what's it called in South Africa, not Johannesburg, Cape Town, who hold very strongly that Cape Town must be Gan Eden. I've heard this from several people who seriously believe that that's where it's going. Hashem's going to reveal that's where it is. But in any case, says Yigalehu Hashem livnei Adam ba'asid. Hashem is going to reveal it to mankind in the future. The Yoha Lahem es Darko, and he will show them all of the how to basically make the best of it. The Yis'an Gubo, and they will be able to enjoy living there. And the Rambam described as a place that has plants that that grow there that have very beneficial medicinal effects, and people will be able to live comfortably there. This is the place that Adam lived. The Rambam says explicitly that he says this is the place, the verses in the Torah which describe that Adam and Rishon lived in a garden and there were trees there. So that's literally, that's what it means, right? The Rambam really says the same thing, but he has more nuances in it.
Yeah, but there's
that's
an angel in front of it with a Arbo Shlufa. There's an ever spinning blade there or something.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
We can't get in.
Right, so at the end, when Hashem is going to show us how to get there, I assume we'll also take the angel away. Right? But in any case, the Rambam says Gan Eden is a place of this world, which will be revealed in the future, seemingly meaning at the end of days. So that's where we're going to go. We're going to go to Gan Eden. That's where we'll go. And that's maybe during maybe Tchias Amesim, people will come back to life and we'll go to Gan Eden. I just wanted to point out one more thing here that I didn't underline it, but in the facing paragraph, in the facing column, the Rambam there says that when he's talking about Mashiach, so Mashiach and Tchias HaMeisim go together exactly, which one comes first? Is it Mashiach and then Tchias HaMeisim? Tchias HaMeisim and then Mashiach? I'm not going to get into, but he's describing basically the messianic period with Tchias HaMeisim. He describes, if you look, five lines from the bottom, four lines from the bottom, the HaMashiach Yomos. Mashiach, after he, you know, does everything he has to do and establishes a kingdom and he lives a long life, and it's going to be, and it'll be comfort. And that, it says, "Mashiach Yamas." Mashiach is going to die. The Yimloch Beno Ben Beno, and then his son will rule, and his son will die, and his grandson will rule. Fine. No, but basically, this, and we'll see more explicitly about this point. But the Rambam says that after Tchias HaMeisim, you are going to die again, right? And we'll see why that makes sense. Well, what then? Understand what the point of that is. But the Rambam understands, Tchias HaMeisim, you come back to life, you get a comfortable, nice life, you go live in Gan Eden. The Rambam writes you're going to live longer than people live now because there's going to be more health and more comfort and less stress. People live longer lives. And then you're going to die again. And that's what the significance of this line that I underlined, that the Rambam says, Dasha Adam Yomus Behech, that person must die with certainty, absolutely, because everything must separate into its component parts. We're going to see a little bit more about this general approach of the Rambam, where all these things fit in, how basically the interplay of the body and the soul, and how that fits into Tchias HaMeisim and Olam Haba. So the Rambam writes,
I think you just said Tchias HaMeisim is longer than your current life. So you'll live an additional 90 years or 100 years or
Sorry, I have a memory of the Rambam writing the number that people live around 200 years. I don't remember where I saw that, but the Rambam says, you know, people will live much longer lives, right? But then they're going to die again. So the Rambam writes in chapter 4 of Hilchos Yesodei Torah, he says, Arba gufim halalu. He describes at the end of chapter 3 that there are four elements. This was in Greek philosophy. They had the four elements, the four elementals. So the Rambam writes, Arba gufim halalu, shehem ish v'ruach u'mayim ba'aretz, which fire, wind, water, and earth. Those are the building blocks of everything that exists in the physical world. The kol sheyia may other with behema, oh, everything that exists—man, animals, birds, plants, fish, stones, rocks, all these things. Hakol, Golman, Mechubah, they are the Yesodus Hollow. They are all composites, compounds made of those four fundamentals. Skipping down to Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, V'kol ha-Mechubah, they are the Yesodus Elu, Hunifra Mibasov. Anything which is made from these four elements, anything which is a compound of other things, must in the end separate, dissolve into its component parts. Everything must be echad, everything must come to one. There can't be things that are compound, they're not real. Everything must be distilled back to what it really is, and therefore everything that's made up of component parts is going to, by definition, is going to separate, is going to decompose into its component parts. There's the Rambam writes that that's the definition, that's the basic essential nature of physical existence, is that it's made up of component parts, and therefore it's in a certain sense fake, and must therefore break up into its component parts. This is part
of. Are you talking about elements, or more on a molecular or atomic level?
I don't know if the Rambam lived today, if he would, instead of these four things, would break it up into the periodic table, or if these are more of a basic. I'm not sure exactly how the Rambam would describe it. I mean, we don't have ruach. Wind is not really, an element on the periodic table, right? We know that wind is created by molecules and whatever it is in the air and colliding and currents and whatever it is, but there's no, you won't find wind somewhere on the periodic table, so it's not necessarily that these are just basic, things that you can't break down anymore. I don't know if you would get down to protons and electrons, or you get down to quarks, or how far down you would have to go if you were going to try and do this, but the point is that the Rambam's picture of physical existence is that it is, in a certain sense, artificial, and therefore it has to break up in the end. And the Rambam really understands that physicality is, by definition, it is an interruption. It is a something which is an impediment to spirituality. That's what it is at its most basic nature. And where you see this most clearly, I believe, is in this the next page, a paragraph which we've actually seen before in the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avos in Shmona Prakim, right at the end of chapter 7. The Rambam is describing Moshe Rabbeinu, and he writes, "Lefisha yada Moshe Rabbeinu shelo nishar lefarav mesach shel karo." Moshe Rabbeinu knew that there was no screen that he had not torn, meaning no barrier that he had not burst through. V'shekvar nishlamu bo amalos hamidosios kulon, he had perfected all of the character attributes, amalos hayagyonios kulon, and all of the intellectual attributes, which means Moshe had reached the pinnacle of human achievement. He asked Hashem, he requested that he be able to perceive, to grasp Hashem according to the reality, the truth, the true nature of his existence. Since there's nothing left blocking that relationship. The Amar, and he said to Hashem, Hareini na es kvodecha, show me your glory. As hodio Hashem, Yisala, then Hashem informed him, Shezeb built the Afshar, that is impossible, Mikavan Shehu Seichel Matzoi B'Chomer, because he is a Seichel which is found in Chomer, which is located, which is residing in a material physical body. The Lo Nishar Beino Beina Sagas Hashem, at the top of the next column, that there remained nothing between him and Hashem, Yisal Kefi Amitas Mitziyasu El Mesech Echad Bahir. There was one screen, which was a clear and bright screen, but one screen left. And Hashem said that this goal is impossible for him. As long as he exists in a body. So the Rambam is talking here about Moshe Rabbeinu has reached the pinnacle of perfection. There's nothing left for him to perfect. His, in his Migos, in his Seichel, in everything, he's reached the top. And yet, his body is by definition a block, an interference in that connection. And that really, sums up how the Rambam would tell you, physicality is by definition a block, an interruption between God, man and God, between us and spirit, and a spiritual connection to God. And therefore, the ultimate spiritual achievement can only be achieved, and the Rambam writes about this in many places, by subjugation of the body, by nullification of the body, by as much as a person can, removing himself by physicality. Ultimate achievement is only going to be with a departure from that body.
The Perushim were on the right path.
According to the Rambam, certainly. So the Rambam writes, and therefore, what should Olam Haba be? Olam Haba should be a place which is only for your soul, correct? And that's what the Rambam indeed says. If you look in Hilchos Tshuva, chapter 8, Halacha 2, the Rambam writes, Ha'olam Haba ein bo guf v'gvia. Olam Haba does not have a body or a form. Ela nafshos ha'tzidikim bilvad. It's just the souls of the righteous below guf, without a body, kemalach yasharis, like the angels. Kach amru hachamim, skipping a few lines, harishonim, ha'olam haba, ein bo lo achila, v'lo shtia, v'lo tashmish, ela tzadikim yoshvim v'itroseim v'rosheihen, v'nen mizib ashkina. Olam haba does not have food, eating, or drinking, no relations. It's just the righteous are sitting with their crowns on their heads and enjoying the presence of the Shekhinah, the glory of the Shekhinah. So makes it pretty clear. That was quoting a Chazal. That makes it pretty clear. She'ein sham guf, that there must not be a body there. There's no eating or drinking. There's no use for a body there. So why would there be a body there? Says the Rambam, the Olam Haba is only for your soul. Last line of the halacha. Umaru zeu she'amru nenin miziv ha'shechina. What does it mean that they are enjoying, basking in the glow of the Shechina? She'yodim umasigim me'amitas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They come to know and grasp the truth of God. Masha'enim yodim v'heim beguf ha'afal v'ashafal. That which they could not know and understand as long as they were in the lowly and dark body. And that's the nature of Olam Haba. Olam Haba is you leave your body and now you're able to have that intense, direct spiritual connection.
So what is Rosh
Hashanah
mean again?
So in the lines that I skipped, the Rambam explains the mashal, right? He says that this is talking about a mashal, is that he gives other examples. Right, so he gives other examples of concepts where it says, or the example it gives he says, Simchas Olam al Rosham. He says, Eina Simcha Guf Kadesha Tenu al Rosham. The verse says that the happiness will sit on their heads. It says happiness is not an object which can sit. We can describe the Torah will describe, or Tanakh will, you know, metaphorically describe these, you know, personify different things in order to convey some kind of idea, right? So the Rosh is going to signify, you know, the intellect, and the Atara on the Rosh is because it's the intellectual achievement of appreciating the existence of God, or God, the understanding the true nature of God. If you turn the page, the last halacha in that chapter, the Rambam writes, Zashakara'o Oso Chachamim Olam Haba, that which the Chachamim refer to it as the world to come, right? It's the next world, it's the future world, right? That's what it sounds like, Olam Haba, the world to come. Lo mipnei she'einu matzli ata, that's not because it does not exist right now. V'zeh olam oved, and this world is going to be destroyed, or is going to go away. V'acharkach yavo oso olam, and then that world is going to come into existence. Ina davar kein, that's not the way it is. Ela harihu matzli v'oved, that world exists right now. Shenema asher tzatantar erecha pa'alta, that which is awaiting those who fear you, pa'alta, you have done. It's something which is already there, it's something which is already made, it's already acted upon. The lo kira'uhu olam haba, it's only called olam haba, the world to come. Elef mitnesha osar chayim baimu la'olam achar chayim hazeh. That life, that existence, comes after the existence of this world. She'anu kayamim bo, beguf v'nefesh, in which we have a body and a soul. V'zeo nimsa l'kol amad rishona. That's how everyone is first. First, you are in the world of the body and the soul. First, you're here. And then you have the next world, the after, the, that which comes afterwards, is Olam Haba. It's not because it's not around and it's only going to be brought, it's something that's going to be created in the future. That it exists for every person. Every person after they die goes to Olam Haba, right? And that's the world that you go to after you die. You go to Olam Haba. It exists right now. There are people right now as we speak. There are souls in Olam Haba, and that's the and it's not some future world. It's just the world. It's the afterlife. It's the after this life is that life, and that's what it's not. There's nothing about that they're meant to understand that it's something future about it. It's just chronologically, it comes second after this life.
So the implication is all of Olam Haba always been around since Adam's time.
Yeah.
Or before.
Yes. Right? And the truth is there's a medrash in the Mechilta which somewhat implies this idea of the Rambam, but that's how the Rambam sees it. Right? Basically, you have the world of this world with a body and a goo, with a body and a soul. The body is, you know, somewhat of a hindrance, which you're in this world and you have to overcome the body, and that's kind of the goal of life, is to overcome the body and to get past that barrier as much as possible and bring yourself close to God. And you're only able to actualize that achievement after you leave the body, because the physicality is by definition an interruption, a block of that apprehension of that relationship.
So why would you want to come back from Olam Haba?
That's an excellent question. That's going to be mystery number one, right? That we're going
to... Why would we want to come back? The whole point is to get away from our body.
Let's see one more point. No. So I'll make clear what Avi's asking one question in 1 minute. I just want to see one more thing to make it clear. the Rambam, now this is a little bit of something that's unfair in how we're going to go through this, but the Rambam, there was a whole controversy. The Rambam, as we saw, wrote very, very little about Tchias HaMesim. And the Rambam was accused by some of not actually believing in Tchias HaMesim. Even though he listed it on the Yud Gimel Ikrim, some people said he was, you know, basically just
lip service.
Exactly, that's what they were looking for. Lip service to it. He didn't really believe in it. That's why he wrote so little about it. The Rambam wrote an entire letter, which the Ramban actually refers to as an entire Megillah. He calls it Megillah Tchias HaMesim. Right? The Rambam wrote an entire treatise explaining his view of Tchias HaMesim, Yemos Mashiach, and Olam Haba. We're not going to be able to go through it because it's long.
Oh, man.
But we're going to see the Ramban does us the favor in a few places in Shaar HaGemul of excerpting some of the salient points and some of the key excerpts. So just one of those we'll see right now. Shaar HaGemul is the Ramban's own description of the same topics, of Schar V'Onesh and Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba and Gan Eden. And that's really what next week when we discuss, or 2 weeks from now because it's Shavuos, in our next class when we discuss the Ramban's view, we're really just going to be doing a fast track through Shaar HaGemul for the Ramban's view, and the Ramban himself contrasts himself with the Rambam, and we'll use that it will be very instructive in seeing the difference. But just for our job this week, just to see this one paragraph here where he quotes the Rambam, and he writes, this is start. The Ode Kazav Zal B'Tshuva She'ela. The Rambam wrote in answer in response to a question. That which the Greek philosophers and the Western philosophers, which I think is actually referring to the Arabic philosophers, the nefesh regarding the soul, shanefesh tsura below golem, who below guf, that the soul is an entity divorced from physicality, from body. El tahor tohar u gezira u mekor adas, or gezira u mekor adas, that the soul is the pure and holy and is the root of knowledge and awareness and intellect. The soul does not need the body. Lafika kisha ye avet yovara goth lota te avet he. When the body is destroyed, the soul is not. Ela omedes ba'atma, the soul remains on its own. The kayemes kamo hamalach, and it continues to exist like an angel. The nehanes, the chozeh ba'oro shel olam, and it's able to see with the light of the light of the world. The hu olam haba, that is olam haba. Olam haba is after the soul leaves the body, after a person dies, that's when they go to olam haba. So now, just to make clear the background of what Avi was asking a moment ago, so what is Tchiyas HaMeisim, according to the Rambam? You die, you go to Olam Haba, you're there. Then, a couple thousand years go by, and all of a sudden, Mashiach comes, Tchiyas HaMeisim happens, and you come out of Olam Haba, back to a body, and you go back into the world for Tchiyas HaMeisim. You live for a couple hundred years, and then you die again, and where do you go? You go to Olam Haba, you go back to Olam Haba, right? You were just there, right? So according to the Rambam, and this is going to be mystery numero uno in the Rambam, we can phrase the question in two ways, and they're both very important. Question number one is, why would you want Olam? What's the goal of Olam Haba? What's the idea of Olam Haba? If you're just there, you die, you go to Olam Haba, and then you come back to life, you come back here, and then you're going to die again and go back to Olam Haba. So why do we need Tchiyas HaMeisim? And question number two is that Tchiyas HaMeisim is like, you know, however we'll explain it, it's like one stop on the train. It's certainly not the end of the road, right? Tchiyas HaMeisim, if anything, we might call it a step backwards, but it's certainly not like, where is the fundamental significance of Tchiyas HaMeisim, the fact that like maybe you get a mulligan to try to do, you know, a little bit more life?
Isn't that
what?
That's the point, isn't it?
Why does that make it an ikar of emuna? Why does that make it a fundamental point of faith? That the Rambam chose 13 and only 13 things, left some things out, put some things in, that are fundamental pillars of Jewish belief. And the Rambam we saw at the beginning of today writes that anybody who does not believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim has no connection to the Jewish people. Belief in God, prophecy of Moses, Torah came from Sinai, reward and punishment, these things, you know, even without the more sophisticated ideas that we've been going through, we understand the basic idea of how these things are very fundamental. Where does Tchiyas HaMeisim, where does that go? Why does that become a fundamental of faith? It's going to be the very important question that we have to try and figure out within the Rambam. We're going to see why within the Ramban, this is a very different question. Within the Ramban, we'll talk about next week, the Ramban's view of Tchiyas HaMeisim and Olam Haba and all these things. And we'll see that the question of what is the significance of Tchiyas HaMeisim is an entirely different discussion. And we'll see that the next time we learn. But in the Rambam, just to make it clear, you basically die, you go to Olam Haba, that's where the soul goes after death is Olam Haba. You come back to this world, and that's when you go to Gan Eden, and then you die again and you go back to Olam Haba. Right?
Is that automatic? So you're in Russia.
No, so that if you're in Russia, then you don't go to Gan Eden and you don't go to Olam
Haba. No. I'm saying, when during Tchiyas HaMeisim you're in Russia.
Oh, if during Tchiyas HaMeisim you're in Russia. So I don't know what the hypothetical answer would be, but the actual answer would be that it's not going to be such a question, because the Rambam describes in his description of the way of life in the time of Mashiach as such that it would be very difficult to be a Rasha. He describes just the way that knowledge of God is going to be so open and available, and that the nature of the relationship with the Yetzer Hara is going to be, it's going to be a period in which, basically this is going to be part of what we're going to have to discuss, but that the ability to learn Torah and do mitzvot is going to be so much more available and easy in that time, is going to be not such a practical question.
So everyone that goes to Tchiyas HaMeisim will make it back to Olam Haba.
That seems to be the implication, yeah. Just to make it clear here, so according to the Rambam, right, we have, you live, you die, you go to Olam Haba. You come back to life, you go to Gan Eden. You die again, and you go back to Olam Haba, right? That's what happens according to the Rambam. So, Tchiyas HaMeisim and Olam Haba are the same or different?
different stages.
They're very different, right? They have, you know, they might chronologically be intertwined, but you wouldn't confuse the two, right? So one more question just to add on to our list of big problems that we have to work out here. If you turn the page, is the first Mishnah in...
Can we say...
And we say Gan Eden to Gan Eden. Also, right, that seems to not be in accordance with the Rambam. That's fine, the Rambam did not, you know, the Kel Malay Rachamim is not from the Talmud, it's the Rambam does not have to agree with the words of that prayer. But, yes, it's true.
You're just confusing me.
So, the first mission in the last chapter of Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek, so the Mishnah said, that Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba, all Yisrael have a portion in the world to come, and then it says, except for, with some noted exceptions, Ve'elo She'en Lam Chelek Olam Haba, these are those who do not have a portion in the world to come. Ha'omer, the first of them is, Ha'omer Ein Tchiyas Amesim in the Torah. Someone who says, there's no Tchiyas Amesim, literally says no Tchiyas Amesim in the Torah, but a person who denies Tchiyas Amesim, right? A person who denies the resurrection. One of the people has no Chelek in Olam Haba. So the Gemara asks why? Kol kach lama? Why such a severe punishment? Says the Gemara, Tana, who kafa b'tchiyas amesim? He denied tchiyas amesim. Lafika lo yeh chelek b'tchiyas amesim. Therefore, he will not have a chelek in tchiyas amesim. Shekol midosam shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, mida kenegin mida. Because all of the Kadosh Baruch Hu's actions are mida kenegin mida, are measure for measure. You deny tchiyas amesim, therefore you have no tchiyas amesim.
I mean, does this apply to everything?
What?
Does this apply to Olam Haba too?
Well, hold on a second. Well, that those words themselves use as apply to Olam Haba too. Let's go back to the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Eil she'en lam chelek la Olam Haba. These are those who do not have a chelek in Olam Haba. Right? Now, when the Gemara explained it, it said, well, they deny Tchiyas HaMeisim, but they don't get Tchiyas HaMeisim. We're not talking about Tchiyas HaMeisim. We're talking about Olam Haba, right? The Mishnah said they don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. And the Gemara says, well, because they deny Tchiyas HaMeisim, they don't get to go to Tchiyas HaMeisim. The strong implication is that Tchiyas HaMeisim and Olam Haba are interchangeable concepts. If you don't get Tchiyas HaMeisim, that's what it means when the Mishnah says, Ein lo chelek Olam Haba. According to the Rambam, how are you supposed to understand this? The Rambam says, Tchiyas HaMeisim is a place you leave Olam Haba to go to Tchiyas HaMeisim. And then when you die, you go back to Olam Haba. So what does the Mishnah mean? Because you denied Tchiyas HaMeisim, therefore you don't get Olam Haba, which the Mishnah is basically calling Tchiyas HaMeisim. Right? That is going to be another big issue, which the Rambam himself brings up in understanding the opinion of the Rambam, is that how you meant to understand this Gemara, which seems to very strongly imply that Tchiyas HaMeisim and Olam Haba are, if not interchangeable concepts, certainly very strongly linked concepts, enough that not getting one means not getting the other.
My question still applies. If a non-Jew doesn't live in Olam Haba, does that mean he can't get his way into Olam Haba?
I mean,
that's what this is implying.
Right, yeah, certainly. That's the implication.
A non-Jew has no, he has lived a good life, but he doesn't think about heaven. I mean, he doesn't know about heaven.
Yeah. And also a Jew who doesn't believe in it, right? It would also be that they but that would really fall, the truth is, into one of the other Yud Gimel Ikrim. That would fall into Ikr number 10, I'm sorry, Ikr number 11, the Ikr of Schar Va'onesh, or reward and punishment, where the Rambam said that the main point of Schar Va'onesh is Olam Haba and Karis. So a person who doesn't believe in Olam Haba is fundamentally lacking in the understanding of reward and punishment, who also, therefore, not have a chelek in Olam Haba. But for our purposes, just in figuring out how everything fits together, the big problem I'm saying the Rambam is, the Rambam understands Tchiyas HaMeisim and Olam Haba are two distinct concepts. How is the Rambam going to understand this Gemara? Alright, so we're going to, next time we learn, we're going to go through a very different approach of where all these things fit, Gan Eden, Olam Haba, Tchiyas HaMeisim, Mashiach, all these things, how they fit in the Ramban's world, and we're going to see two very different approaches to a very fundamental point of the nature of existence, and we'll see that this idea of what Tchiyas HaMeisim is fits very differently into both of them, and we're going to have to try and get back to understanding the concept in the Rambam.
There must be a fundamental difference.